popular demand. The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome along, NBL One West Radio Show. I'm calling this one the All-Star Edition because all three of the usual heads are in the studio. Brett Costello, Ben Pether, and Jordan Scardetta. Welcome along, guys, to our award special, I guess we'll call it.
Thanks, Brett. Yeah, nice to be here. And thank you, Ben, for letting me take the first response from Brett. It's always nice to... I mean, I'm going to say we'll get into our award show stuff later. Like, defer to the current champion who's going to give it over to probably the incoming... champion for commentator of the year.
Big calls early.
It's going to be the handover this weekend, I reckon.
No way. And well, you know, I was sitting here right now. Thank you for having me, Brett. And I was actually about to say, well, I gave you the handover to go with the first one because you are the 2021 commentator of the year. You've done a fantastic job, not only last season, but this season as well. And look, when it comes to predictions, I am definitely not the predictor of the year. I said Lakeside would go 0-2 last weekend. We got Kate Wee on the show. They went 2-2, and Ruth Hamlin, Ash Eisenberger, they're looking tough.
Yeah, definitely some good wins for them, and they've essentially secured that home final. We will chat with Kate Wee, the recently appointed head coach of the Women's Lakeside Lightning. We'll chat with her a little bit later on, so looking forward to delving into some of their plans for the tail end of the season and that home final.
It should be a good run home for them. Like it must be a nice feeling heading into the last weekend knowing that your position is locked away and that you don't have to worry too much about the results. Just get your players through the next game, and never mind that, we'll touch on it no doubt later with Kate, that they might play the same opponent 2 weeks in a row. So there might be a bit of ducks and drakes going on this weekend between Lakeside and Rockingham. It should be a beauty.
Touching on the Rockingham Flames, it'll be interesting to see who is available for them coming the finals end of the season. And well, one prediction I did get right was the Manjimagic Men getting the win on their home floor against the Joondalup Wolves. Will they be a contender from that bottom four of the top eight come the finals time?
You mentioned predictions, and it would be remiss of us not to shout out once again the granddaddy of all predictions. The Women's Senators continue their unbeaten run. Will it continue on through round 18, of course, the final round of the regular season, and through those upcoming finals?
Well, of course, they're playing the Perth Redbacks this Friday night at Warwick Stadium. Only the one fixture on the Saturday because, of course, Brett Costello, Saturday night, a massive night on the calendar for Basketball WA and NBL One West.
Yeah, the big awards night, the MVP and all of the regulation awards are going to be there. We're going to break down some of our predictions, but we've got a few of our own special awards that you'll find out about during the next hour or so as well, including the Ben Pether Youth All-Star 5 Awards. So what's your criteria for this one?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I've actually gone the Super 6 for the top 6 youth players for the men's side and the top 6 youth players for the women's side. And one thing I loved about it, and a bit of a flow on from the Centre of Excellence coming over with their men's and their women's side, is the fantastic young talent who've really plied their trade and gone about it in a way that makes me excited about what the future we have for some of the talent here in Basketball WA.
I feel like Ben's hedging his bets a little bit. It's gone from a starting five to a
super six.
I feel like he just doesn't want to make a decision, doesn't want to make the hard call.
Couldn't cut anyone out.
Absolutely. And look, I went through there and I was looking at all the different players, and I came up with a list for both sides of 15 to 20 players who each could, in their own right, be on in that sort of super six. So we've got the starting five, we've got our sixth man off the bench.
Yeah, this is why he's going to be commentator of the year this year, because he's bringing that to the
table. Analytics.
He's bringing that to the table, and I'm bringing best and worst jerseys. That's okay. What I'm bringing.
Okay. So. I feel like both are valid and have their place across the next hour. We'll also chat with Kate Wee, of course. We've got the preview of round 17 action. Of course, we'll tell you what's happening during this final round and ladder positions as we move through to the finals here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Brett, Ben and Jordan in the house this week as we look back on round 17. It was the second last round of the regular season. We had double overtimes, we had overtimes, we had upsets. Take it away, boys. What did you spot from round 17?
Friday night at Bendat, we had double OT, free basketball, not once but twice. And, well, I was there. Brett, you were on the court announcing. And Jordan at home, you missed the last part. How come?
Okay, so, yeah, there was, what, I think it was 26 seconds to go in the second overtime. And this game had just captured me, I must say. You know, it had been a pretty good night of sport overall. And, yeah, I'd got to piggyback off the football and come in and watch the men's game. And it was a really good game, like a lot on the line for Perry Lakes. And yeah, second OT, 26 seconds to go, just bam, instant cut
live
to black.
Stream.
No audio, no vision. Still had the score ticker down the bottom. So that was still ticking over. We could see that time was expiring. We could see, you know, I could see that Matt Leary had some free throws in that time. It was 1 point the difference at the time. But I had no idea what was going on because all I could rely on was the score ticker down the bottom. Yeah, maximum stream time, apparently.
Seems like the game went so long that it just the coverage had ended.
Yep, and that was that. And awkward. Look, it's a huge win for the Hawks, and they pulled one out of the fire there because, you know, they lose that game. It's an uphill battle for them to be in the eight and trying to defend their championship. And look, they're a team that I don't think it's going to matter where they finish in the eight. They're going to be a threat to whoever they play in any elimination game between, you know, a potential elimination final and you know, all the way to a potential grand final. You know, they're going to be a threat all that way along because of, you know, the experienced players that they have in their lineup, you know, and they've shown, like, Matt Leary was unbelievable on Friday night. I was chatting to Matt Parsons afterwards, and I said, he has to win every single player award for that game that there is because, like, what was it, 34 points off the bench? But also, not just the stat line, the fact he got collected really heavily in the third quarter, and it looked bad. Like it looked like he could sit out the rest of the night. You know, really bad clash to the head. Looked groggy, came off, and just collected himself, came back on in the fourth, had an impact, was hitting threes, was the reason that it went to overtime. And then, you know, coming up clutch in overtime, not only with the big threes, but with the free throws as well. Just, you know, they've got guys like that who are a threat. Andrew Ferguson hasn't really hit his stride this year at all. I don't know if he's playing hurt, but, you know, he's kind of been in and out of games a little bit, not having the huge impact that he had last season, but he's capable of another level. And then you've got the experience of Ben Purser and, you know, Ryan Smith can shoot the lights out coming off the bench, you know. There's guys who we haven't seen the best of for Perry Lakes this year, so I think all they need to do is make it. So that's why that win is so key. They've got the tiebreaker on the Perth Redbacks. You feel like they're in the box seat to finish eighth and get into the finals. It's it just is such a huge win. Shame I had to miss the last 26 seconds, but it's such a huge win for the Perry Lakes Hawks.
Something interesting to note, and there's you talk about that with the Perry Lakes Hawks with their ability to impact on finals. I feel like it's all about the matchup. And for them, they've been already up to Geraldton. They got the win on the Sunday morning clash at 10 a.m. But you talk about that. I feel like who they had last year, they haven't added anyone. And Lewis Thomas has been impacted by work. They've added Jack Eisenbarger. They lost Mitch Clark. It'd be really interesting to see who that matchup is. And I feel that if they get Warwick in that first round or if they get Goldfields, because they're sitting in that fifth and sixth, is the Perry Lakes Hawks look like they'll finish eighth. But depending on the Goldfields, and this is where it comes down to, because the Goldfields, from my understanding, played the Redbacks on Saturday afternoon.
Yes, they do. Yep.
The Warwick should get the win on Friday night against the Redbacks. But again, it's huge right now because that's what you think would happen. Mm-hmm. But again, should they make it, premiership coach last season, multiple time championship titles with Coach Parsons, it'd be really interesting to see how he brings together. I will go back at you about Alex Ferguson. Andrew Ferguson, should I say? Alex Ferguson, another famous sports name.
Yep.
Is that he's so quiet and he does all the little things that nobody notices. And his ability to be on the floor and he gets everyone involved. He never forces anything. And I think that what may seem like a quiet year, but he plays his role so well. And it's probably those around him that haven't fired, which make him probably look like he stands above. But I actually have him as arguably the best five defender still in the league. And he's been really battling behind the scenes, I think, still making an impact on that Perry Lakes side.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's Yeah, fair enough comment as well. Yeah, and I just felt like watching him that there is another level there, and like if he can find it, you know, if he can find the offensive, I think his defense is still elite. If he can find the offensive level that he had that made him runner-up MVP in the league last year and grand final MVP, you know, that's just another, you know, another step that the Hawks can take. And you're right, if they get, you know, one of those matchups, I feel like they can beat, like, you look at those three that are the most likely in Warwick, Goldfields, and Coburn, are your three most likely in that spot. I feel like they can beat any of those three teams. Like, Coburn's probably the tougher one of the lot, because, you know, you have to defend the perimeter so hard because of Carter Skaggs, but, you know, I feel like that's, you know, they can beat any one of those three teams on their night. And we've seen it. We've seen them beat those teams.
Indeed. And to add to that, but if you go to ninth spot and you say Tim's Gutana, yeah, throwing Jeremy Grace.
Yeah.
You have Joel Wagner, who's back from his calf injury. Like, they can beat any of those teams as well. Tevin Jackson. Mm-hmm. So those guys can go as well.
Yeah, it's unbelievably tight. So, yeah, it's... You know, they are battling for that last spot. And look, it could come down to Saturday afternoon, you know, Goldfields versus the Redbacks, to find out, A, who finishes top four, B, who finishes top eight. That's the excitement of it. So, yeah, that's a huge win in the context of the season for Perry Lakes. And, yeah, we're, certainly got good reason to wax lyrical about. Not the only overtime game of the weekend, though.
Yeah, and down in the southwest, down the Forest Highway, the East Perth Eagles travelled and took on the Southwest Slammers. They won in overtime, and the thing I loved about it in overtime is comprehensive victory, 19-5 in the overtime. Mm.
That's huge, isn't it? Like, to come out in an overtime period like that and dominate, because it happens from time to time, but you rarely ever see a full domination like that in overtime. And, you know, the Slammers, they get away from the Eagles, who we have touched on a number of times on the show, are sort of becoming a thorn in the side of a lot of teams in this back half of the year, because they have loaded up a little bit to, you know, push their results up. So that's a huge win for the Slammers, who've got a young roster. You know, they're complemented nicely by their veterans, but they've got a bunch of young guys on that roster, you know, sub 20 years old, who are having big impacts on games and you know, are taking their, and looks like in the back end of the season, they're taking their games to the next level. And it's great to see the Slammers getting results like that.
Absolutely. And Caleb Vandergram will make a mention. We will mention him a little bit later, but he's had a fantastic season. And I saw that he signed in the US collegiate system for later on in August. So fantastic for him, and all the best with his future endeavours.
Yeah, absolutely. The other one I wanted to touch on, Ben, was the Willetton Tigers women's team. You know, defending champions, looked like a force, not just a force to be reckoned with, but, you know, one of the major driving forces in this league throughout the season. You know, they've lost three of their last five all of a sudden, and then they drop one on Saturday to the Lakeside Lightning, who, you know, are pushing up from outside the top eight for most of the year to come in, and they're finishing with a wet sail, but, you know, they've pushed from outside the top eight. What's going on at the Tigers? Because it wasn't so long ago they had one loss on the season and everything was looking really rosy. They've lost three of their last five, and you know, they were to the Magic and the Senators, and now all of a sudden a team underneath them in Lakeside has knocked them off. Is there anything to be worried about, you think, at Willetton at the moment?
Well, something to raise your sort of awareness about with the Willetton Tigers, right, is that if you look at the teams, there's only 2 points that separates defense, what they give up on the defensive end, between the Warwick Senators, the Joondalup Wolves, the Willetton Tigers, and the Mandurah Magic. There's only 2 points roughly per game that separates those four sides. And so you look at it from that point. So from the defensive end, you have Doran, who's coming in from the bench. You got Emma Gandini, reigning defensive player of the year. You got Alex Sharp, who I've said on this before, she's one of the best defenders in the league. You have Des Kelly as well. Sam Lubke, who's been in and out and sort of a range of different minutes. And Taylor Hepburn, who they've added to their side. It's the offensive end and the consistency of scoring. They're always going to get that out of Alex Sharp. They continually get it out of Des Kelly, but I guess it's those multiple contributions from others and off their bench as well. And we probably haven't seen that consistency come in their scoring. But again, it's always hard to be the hunted. They were the ones who won it last year. The teams went out and they went and sort of filled their rosters. They've only added Taylor Hepburn. Mm-hmm. from their lineup from last year. You look at what the Warwick Senators done. They went out and found a scorer in Leona Fivic, and who can guard, who can play defense. The Manager Magic really went out and really bolstered their side after Vladislava had a full preseason. He was able to put his thinking cap on. Who can I bring in? Those likes. The Coburn Cougars went out and have added to their lineup. You look at what the Joondalup Wolves, again, they brought in Robbie Ryan, who I think arguably is the best player in the league, and congratulations to her, who's now being rewarded with the WNBL contract. So I guess the Tigers haven't made a lot of changes to their lineup, and all other teams have sort of added them. But still, the defensive end, they're not necessarily missing a beat, per se, but it's consistency on the scoring, which I think is probably what they need to change.
Yeah, they seem to, every time I've watched them, they seem to be taking, being forced into taking a lot of contested shots. Teams are making them bleed the clock a lot. You know, because I guess if there's one thing they lack is size inside. Like, Alex Sharp is great, you know, when she can drive from the perimeter, take the ball with her to the basket. She's good at that. But, you know, as sort of a post-up target inside, probably not the strength in her game. And with Sam Lubke being hurt, she hasn't been that player either throughout this year. So, you know, I guess they don't have that inside-outside offense. So I was just surprised when I've seen them the three times that I have, how often they've had shot clock violations or putting up contested shots from long range late in the clock because they aren't able to get that inside-outside working. Teams are defending them really effectively. You know, I have caught them, unfortunately for them, on nights where they are playing, you know, very good teams, you know, who are good defensively. And, you know, one of them was Warwick. I caught them against the Flames where they did get the win, but scraped across the line against the Flames in that game. And yeah, I just feel like they haven't had that dynamic offense that they had last year. So you're right, the defensive end, they seem to be taking care of business. But yeah, the offensive end is a bit of a worry. What about the Flames as well? Like, they have a big win over Perth. It snaps a long losing streak for them, which it feels like they're one of the best teams to have a 6-game losing streak in season that I think we've seen, because they've shown that they can match it with the best. But 6-game losing streak has them sitting in 7th position, and they're going to be doing it the hard way if they're going to make it to the last weekend of the finals.
Yeah, I think it's been a rough road for the Rockingham Flames. They've been impacted, my understanding, by injuries, by COVID. They haven't had Taya Burrows come back in. She's had that injury throughout the whole season. But on their night, when they bring it, like, they're a force to be reckoned with. And Marin Cracker, I believe, is arguably in the starting 5 all-stars in the league throughout, if you take him on face value and their ability. Patricia Brosman's been really good as well. Taylor Ortlip, who my understanding is she's now involved with the AFLW. She won't take any further part in the season. And they have good contributions out of their bench at times as well. They could shoot the ball well. So I think it's that consistency. We saw it. They absolutely brought it on a Saturday night against the Coburn Cougars in Wally Hagen in the first quarter, and then they sort of disappeared in the second quarter. Then they came back in the third, and it just wasn't that four-quarter consistent approach. If they can really find that sort of click in the next sort of 10 to 12 days coming into those finals, again, I've said it once, but Marin Cracker, she can flat-out play, and they really start to get her going. She can lock someone up defensively. They have multiple contributions from other players off their bench as well. Like, they could be a force, and it's one thing we really love about the NBL 1 West season 2022 is teams have gone out, they've gone and got some players, they've got their young up-and-coming talent playing as their role players, and we've got some really deep sides. We talked about in the men's side, we mentioned in the women's. The only thing I'll touch base quickly on the Willetton Tigers is they shot the ball 16 more times than the Lakeside Lightning, and there's a theme. There's offensive rebounds and steals are what are keeping them in the game. There was a game earlier in the season against the Coburn Cougars. It was 84-80 from memory. They shot the ball off the top of my head 26 more times than the Coburn Cougars. Just purely offensive rebounds and steals and second chance points is what kept them in the game, and they eventually got out of there with that persistence. So I guess if they can continue that offensive consistency, their defense takes care of itself, but again, that's offense. So yeah, those offensive rebounds and the steals have really kept them in the game.
I guess that's a final style basketball, you know, that hustle, making sure you're doing the hard work at both ends. So yeah, it's, you know, they'll still be obviously a threat. They're going to finish in the top four, but I just wonder whether there's, you know, some cracks are starting to appear, and whether that's a concern for Simon Parker. But But yeah, they're still in a good, still definitely in a good position.
One more before we take a break then. At the top of the ladder, the Joondalup Wolves had a win on the Friday night against the Suns. Then they suffered a loss to the Mandurah Magic on the Saturday night. They've suddenly found themselves in second position. The Warwick Senators have boosted up to the top of the ladder without even playing on the weekend.
Yeah, didn't even have to set foot on the floor. And Janelle Morley's side has just rocketed straight to the top. And look, they're riding the Ben Pether wave throughout the second half of the season. I mean, really, it's the Leone Fibich wave has had such an impact on that side. And Stacey Barr has taken her game to another level. Look, what, 10 days ago or whatever it was, hit 42 points in a game, and just an outstanding player that's taken her game to the next level. And look, Joondalup, I don't think it'd be too concerned. Two losses on the year, they're still an incredible team that's certainly more than capable of taking it up. And that looks like the likely, you know, those two have set themselves apart from the rest of the competition as the likely matchup come finals time. But Mandurah is making a late judge.
Two different themes over two weekends of basketball for Vladislava. The weekend before, they play the Goldfields Giants, who look like they're not going to make the playoffs. They score 48 points in their home floor. They score 5 points at quarter time. And he's sitting there scratching his head. Come around the following week, they go up against the Joondalup Wolves. They put up 24 points at quarter time. They get a 23-point victory. He's put this team together. They're sitting there right now in fourth. They're going to challenge. They're going to go deep in the playoffs. The Joondalup Wolves, a loss is sometimes a really good thing for you. They didn't have Robbie Ryan on the weekend. She is their facilitator, and I think that she gets everyone else going. And they talk about how different players can make other players look great, and she has that ability of going 2 feet in the paint, dishing the ball out, finding the likes of Belcher open, finding the likes of Phillips open. And we talk a lot about it on the call, Jordan, is that when a player is out, it's not necessarily when you lose that player, but it's when a role player now becomes a starter and one of your bench players, your 9 to 12, now has to fill that role of being a role player. And so when you lose that, and especially when you go deep into the playoffs and later in your season, you start sort of impacting your rotation. You start only rotating sort of through the 7 or the 8. That impacts them. But I think with Robbie Ryan, I'm unaware that she's injured right now or got a long-term injury. I think she'll be fit and ready to go for next week.
Let's hope so from Joondalup's sake, because that makes for a far more interesting final series. She is definitely... The game that I watched of the Wolves where they were most challenged was that game against the Rockingham Flames, where it came down to the last possession. And the big factor in that game was that Robbie Ryan was pretty much shut out of most of it. You know, she was so effectively defended. So you're right, she's that distributor. She's so key to what they do offensively, especially. And yeah, that's a big loss for them. So hopefully there's nothing going on there, and Joondalup will have her back come finals time.
On that note, we'll take a break here on the NBL One West Radio Show. Still to speak to Kate Wee, the head coach of the Women's Lakeside Lightning, and we'll be talking all of the NBL One West awards after this.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. This Saturday night down there at Crown, it's going to be the NBL One West Awards dinner night. We'll find out things like the MVP, which is obviously very important in both the men's and the women's. Now, Ben, every league obviously does their nominations and their voting systems a little bit different. What's unique to the NBL One West about the way they determine their awards winners?
Absolutely. So we'll focus, I guess, on the MVP first and foremost. So each game is voted upon 3-2-1. For the game for both coaches and then from the referees. So the most votes you can get from the game is 9, obviously 3, 3, and 3. The coaches can vote on anyone on their team or the other team, and then obviously the referees do 3, 2, and 1 as well. So that's how the MVP's done. For the All-Star 5s and the Defensive Player of the Year, that's again voted by the coaches and the captains all around the league. And our Youth Player of the Year is taken from our MVP voting, and there's a selection criteria in regards to age and those sorts of things.
And is that cut off 22 years again this year, do you believe?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's 22, 23. But yeah, again, it's good for those people around the league to know how it's voted on. And when it comes out, come Saturday night, we'd be really interested to see who are our winners going into our finals.
Well, the men's MVP, of course, last year, Nick Pozoglou, not in the league this year. Alex Sharp is a defending MVP in the women's there at the Willetton Tigers. Over to you guys. What are your thoughts and some of the picks for this year? Who you got your eye on?
Starting right at the top, the most important award right at the start of the night. Everyone's going to leave after this one. Look, I'll start with the women's one. I found this one
tough because, like, I guess it's about how you define value and then you have to factor in how it's voted on. You know, that it is a per game basis. There's no panel of experts that are sitting and looking at stats at the end of the season and picking bits out here and there. So if you just look purely at stat lines and have a look at those, it is really, there's a lot of really good cases to be made for probably 8 players, I would think, around the league. I've gone with Emma Clarke. I think Emma Clarke is she's on a team that's won enough games and been good in games that they haven't won, good enough in games, you know, to pinch a couple of votes from coaches, you know, from opposing coaches here and there, and probably enough to get a 1 or 2 from their own coach and, you know, maybe a 1 from the referee. So I feel like Emma Clarke has had such a huge year for Perry Lakes. She's my pick for women's MVP.
Yeah, my pick for women's MVP, and I think that she should win it. 17-2 record. They went 16-0. Robbie Ryan, she's been rewarded with a WNBL contract from Ryan Petrick. He's been watching it, keeping a close eye on her. I think that she's been fantastic. I think she's put the numbers up. And yeah, I think that she'll win MVP.
Men's again, I had a tough one with, because there's, I find it hard to say maybe that this player will win it because there's someone on his team who's going to steal votes. But like the most outstanding player and a player who's shown value, came in and looked as if he was a pure shooter, but has shown that he has real defensive capability and a lockdown capability throughout the season. Devondrick Walker has been absolutely outstanding in the men's competition. And you might think that, you know, Marshall Nelson being on his team will pinch votes from him a little bit, because Marshall Nelson was brilliant in a number of games this year. You know, one of the few guys to record a triple-double in a game this season. But Devondrick Walker across the season, they have won enough games now, Rockingham. Well, they won 17 on the season, you know, to make sure that he's going to get enough 3-vote games from his own coaches, the opposing coaches and the referees to win it. I think Devondrick Walker takes this one.
I think Devondrick Walker is the winner of the MVP, and I have to agree with you. He is a true talent at the Rockingham Flames. He will lose some votes, of course, to Marshall Nelson. Tom Jervis played some decent games. Even Beard's been serviceable for them as well. But I think he will be the 2022 MVP of the NBL 1 West. A dark horse. Mm-hmm. Carter Skaggs. He will, on the night, poll the most 9-vote games. And I don't know if we get that look, but his ability to take over and change the outcome of a game. Now, he probably hasn't done it consistently enough throughout 18 weeks, but he will poll the most 9-vote games come Saturday night.
Yeah, I think that's a good call, because like, ask the Perry Lakes Hawks how he can just take a game apart. Was it 12 for 14 3-point shooting on a night where he scored 39 points and they won by a single bucket? You know, that's the kind of player Carter Skaggs is. I think I did a game with you, Ben, where he hit the first 6 3-pointers that he shot in a game. He's ridiculous. So yeah, you're right, he can just take over a game in an instant. Defensive player of the year. Now, the women's, I feel like there's someone who's going to win, and is, you know, I think will be a deserving winner when she wins it. But the player I think should win, because I've seen her defend incredibly well in every game I've watched her play, is Chris Boak from the Rockingham Flames. You know, a big defending down low. She's been able to shut down the opposing forwards from that she's played throughout the year so effectively. And it looks effortless. Like, she doesn't seem like she does a lot, but she's always in good position, always making sure she's boxing out on rebounds, always making sure she's getting a hand in for the pass into the paint. You know, she's always getting herself in good defensive position, and she's a defense-first player. You know, offensive numbers haven't been there at all this year, but I feel like, as you know, she is a pure defender and does that role so effectively, and is a major reason why the Rockingham Flames are where they are, and, you know, they'd be outside the top 8 without her.
Look, I've got to take the $1.90 odds in Emma Gandini. I think as a coach, when you put your coach's hat on, the ability to guard 94 feet, to disrupt the offense, she has the ability just to take them out of their stuff and really disrupt them. And she's been rewarded. She went from being a development player with the Perth Lynx to being in their 10 to coming back to the Wheeler Tigers. We had her on the show last week. She said it disrupted her sort of her prep for the Wheeler Tigers. She found it a little bit different. She really loves being a part of that team. And I think she's more than deserving of the Defensive Player of the Year. If I was to take one player, special mention, your MVP for the women's, Emma Clarke. I think she's been great. And I think
again, Robbie Ryan, I think she's really good as well.
So looking at the men's defensive player of the year, similar to the MVP, that was taken out by Nick Pozoglou as well. So that field is wide open in season 2022.
Yeah, had a look at, it's funny, I had a look at who I wanted to pick in these before actually looking at the nominees. Like I didn't think about it too much. I just wanted to, you know, go off, you know, what I thought was a good defensive player. And I guess you'll see a theme in this one, because I think Pascal Chukwu is the defensive player of the year in the men's competition. You know, averaging nearly 3 blocks a game, averaging nearly a steal per game, 10 rebounds a game as well. Just does all that grunt work in the post on the defensive end for the Coburn Cougars. And I feel like as well, he's a spectacular defender. You know, he's a guy who gets up high, you know, straight up and down defense. He's got that vertical leap where, and he's big man, reaches up high. It really stands out, the work he does on the defensive end. So I feel like that will probably catch the eye of a lot of people. And he's my pick for the men's defensive player of the year.
I think I'm going to take another point guard for my defensive player of the year. This person's not going to win it, but this is my defensive player of the year. I think you've got to take Kyle Zunick. I think his ability, again, 94 feet, to guard the floor, disrupt their offense, really gets up there. He starts their arrow sort of 1-2-2 zone that sorry 1-2-2 press that they run from half court with Coach Brennan. I saw him on a Friday night against the Joondalup Wolves when we're going back 10-12 weeks here. It was the first night when Coach Brennan was courtside, and his ability just to get them going, had Brian Michaels, Caleb Davis, George Pearl. I think, yeah, he's my defensive player of the year. Who do I think will win? Look, I wouldn't be surprised. My counter-argument to Pascal Chukwu is that his team gives up more points than anyone else in the top 8, and by a considerable amount. They usually win by a shootout, the Coburn Cougars. But you could take Jonathan Wade as well. He's been really good. And then, of course, up in Geraldton, Cam Coleman, Sean Stewart, two fantastic defensive players.
Yeah, that's a huge one. So I guess that only leaves us with Coach of the Year. And for me, I feel like the women's one's a no-brainer. It's Janelle Morley for me. Like I don't think there's a doubt about it. She's not only you know, getting the best out of everyone on that roster. We had her on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we're talking about like someone like Nicole Jordison-Jewell coming off the bench, and like that transition for her from what she's being into like a bit part player who just plays whatever role she's slotted into. You know, the development of Chloe Forster as well. And then, you know, having the foresight to bring in someone like Leonie Fibich and, you know, getting more out of Mackenzie Clinch-Hoycard and you know, really bolstering the roster that way as well. Like, getting the best out of everyone that's on their roster. Not to mention Stacey Barr and how well Stacey Barr is playing too. You know, getting the best out of everyone that's there, identifying the needs that they have, and then deploying her players effectively. Like, you watch the way she uses her bench. And we said she uses it sparingly, but I think she uses it really smartly. You know, the way she uses Alyssa Duncan when she needs to, you know, is just outstanding. And so I think the Women's Coach of the Year is a no-brainer. It's Janelle Morley.
Interesting thoughts, Jordan Scardetta. I'm going to go with a different approach. I'm going to go all the way to the Goldfields. I think my Coach of the Year goes to Rob Thompson. He had his side 4 weeks ago in playoff contention, and they were embedded in that top 8. They had a tough injury, and our thoughts go out to Gemma Gaddy, who's definitely going to get a mention in my Super 6 best youth players in the league. They're going to be in their inaugural season here in the NBL 1 West. They've lit a fire under the women's program there in the Goldfields. Plenty of excitement about it. They're going to just miss the playoffs, but what he's done with his side, I think he wins Coach of the Year. With the talent that he has to be able to put themselves in a playoff contention, and realistically, if they had Gemma Gaddy, they would finish in that 8th spot, I think. They've gone with Danielle McRae. I think they've brought out a good import. She's been really serviceable, and I think what he's been able to get out of their junior talent, and I put it back on to you this way. Coach Morley has Mackenzie Clinch-Hoycart, a Goldfields junior. If you put her on the Goldfields Giants under Coach Rob Thompson, they definitely make the playoffs. So that's, and of course, and this is the best part about now the Goldfields Giants, is Mackenzie Clinch-Hoycart doesn't have to move to Perth to get opportunities at an NBL 1 level. And the future, her sister being there on the Goldfields Giants, and the future Goldfields Giants NBL 1 West talent that are out there right now, the females there in the Goldfields, now have an opportunity. That pathway exists. So it's fantastic to see the development of that. And I think with the talent that he had, I think that he wins Coach of the Year.
Yeah. Okay. I can buy that. The, you know, coaches a new side and develops them well. I like it. Okay. Maybe you know, my shoe-in call isn't quite there. But
the smart money might be with Jordan.
I like where you're coming from. The men's coach of the year, I had a bit of a tough time with this one, a little bit. But for very similar reasons, I've gone Ryan Petrick as my men's coach of the year. Like, has a lot of excellent players in his lineup. Deploys them so well. And like, the biggest thing I noticed about watching the Flames, because I've got to watch them a fair bit this year, the biggest thing I've noticed is the amount of different looks they have on offense, the amount of ways they can get that offense running completely differently within game. So to me, that's good coaching, because like, all these players are on the same page about how their offense is going to run. Okay, if we need to change it up mid-game, we need to switch it up because the opposition's got onto it, this is what else we run. So that's all down to preparation during preseason and being able to get your players to execute. And that's 100% on coaching. And like, we know that Ryan Petrick's a good coach. He's a WNBL coach, the current one for the Perth Lynx. And you know, a team that just lost a grand final series. So we know he's a good coach, and I think he's demonstrated it to the max this year with the Rockingham Flames. I think he gets the men's coach of the year.
Well, Jordan, I'm going to take a similar theme as I did in the women's, and it's about getting the best out of what you've got. And I think a special mention, this is not my coach of the year, but looking at where the Lakeside Lightning were at the start of the season, where they really didn't look competitive, to where they are now. They haven't been blown out of the games, and their record of 4-17, but more how competitive they are. They beat the Warwick Senators on their own home floor just less than a fortnight ago. They nearly beat the Perry Lakes Hawks, who were going to play finals. They took them to double OT. And what Dave Lindstrom has been able to get out of his juniors in the likes of Bennett, Liam Patterson. He's seen Ben Fairclough come back. We've seen Greta play extended minutes. They've had Caden Malseed. And Dom Jackson, who is an Australian, US-Australian citizen, they brought him over. His ability almost looks like he's the most improved player in the league. And so, special shout-out to Dave Lindstrom for what they have done with them. From what they lost, Jay Bowie, they lost Kyle Armour, they lost Jack Eisenbarger, and where they looked, they really didn't look competitive in the first month of the season, to where they are now, special mention. But using that thought and that tack, is my coach of the year goes to none other than 18 wins, 3 losses as we record this, Dale Joseph at the Geraldton Buccaneers. We can't understate how hard it is to be a regional team in the NBL 1 West. You are on the road every fortnight. If you split your road wins and you win every game at home, you make the playoffs. They're 18-3 right now. They went and found an untouched gem in Malik Mounier. They brought him in, the 21-year-old from over in the Victoria. They brought in Sean Stewart, great defense. They brought in Cam Coleman, reigning defensive player of the year for NBL 1 Central. They added, of course, each and every year, Matt Wunderburg, and they've got the best out of Fletcher Castorni, the best out of Johnny Narkle, some of their young players as well. And they've also got Muo, which is just a collaboration of some fantastic players. And to go 18-3, there was a lot of people who said, oh, they haven't played anyone good yet after 6 weeks. Then they went and beat Mandra. Then they haven't beaten anyone good yet. And then they went on the road and they won at Warwick. They've had some big wins. They beat Rockingham on their own home floor, which was a really heated one. And I think he wins our coach of the year for our men's side.
Well, some fantastic insights there, guys. Of course, hopefully many of you may be joining us down there at the awards dinner on Saturday night. But if not, you'll be able to check out all of the official winners at the NBL One West socials, of course. A little bit later on the hour, we're going to have a bit of a fun with the awards as well and talk about a few of our own special picks and so on. But after this, we'll speak with Kate Wee, head coach there at the Women's Lakeside Lightning at the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello with you, joined in the studio. We've got a full house, Ben and Jordan both here. And now on the line is Kate Wee, recent appointee to the head coach of the Lakeside Lightning. Getting comfortable into that seat with a 3-1 record since taking over. Kate, welcome along to the NBL One West radio show.
Oh, hi. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm going to take the lead because I met you on Friday night. You managed to get the win over the Perry Lakes Hawks, and then you sort of sealed your home final position in the top eight with that win against the Willetton Tigers as well. Pretty good weekend on balance.
Yes, it was a very good weekend for us. I think the girls and the team were very pleased with how both games went and, yeah, how we finished up. So definitely finished on a high after the weekend.
I walked past your bench on Friday and stood next to Ruth briefly. Gee, she's got some height about her, hasn't she?
She sure does. She is definitely very much an asset, obviously, on the court. But as well off the court, she brings so much leadership and expertise to the team, as well as what she gives back to the club as well, has been really great. So she's been so good just to have as a part of the group and the club as well. So we feel very blessed to have her in our team this season, yeah.
Kate, a month ago, I don't think if anyone had said on the second last weekend of the year, Lakeside Lightning are going to knock off the Willetton Tigers in the women, that anyone would have believed what you were saying. What was it that was the key to that win on Saturday night?
Oh, I think we've just really been focusing on trying to not look too far ahead in terms of the season, but also just in terms of the game. So we just tried to break it down. It was big backing up, trying to back it up after Perry Lakes as well. And the girls were tired, it being a doubleheader. But we just tried to break it down into small, bite-sized chunks. And we knew that if we took care of, you know, each part of the quarters in each quarter, then the result would take care of itself. But it was definitely a grind it out and just do what we needed to do in that. And so it was a great result for us. And I definitely think the girls came away feeling like, okay, we can actually continue on with what we started, which was really exciting.
And, you know, you have someone like Ash Eisenberger step into the fold as far as points scoring goes, because you lose Sarah Dickey a week and a bit ago against the Senators. Do you know what her situation is at the moment? And will you have her on this final weekend? And I guess, or will you be taking a cautious approach given that you've got that home final locked away?
Oh, we're not 100% sure with Sarah. We're just still kind of taking it day by day with her and seeing how she's progressing. But yeah, it was, in terms of our scoring, obviously she contributes a lot to that. But I think in this weekend, everyone stepped up. I mean, Ash had a big game on Friday night as well. And then on Saturday versus Willetton, everyone kind of chipped in, but Katie Jones as well started to find a bit of her groove. And so I think everyone knows what Sarah brings, and so in their own way is just trying to help contribute that. But in terms of where we are with Sarah, we're still sort of taking it day by day and seeing how she goes, but having that home final locked away is very handy as well.
Kate, Ben Pether here. Just a question for yourself. You've been coached for a number of years at the Lakeside Lightning, now the head coach for the last month, and there's a tremendous support network behind you as well, taking on this task. Have you felt that support both from the club and family as well? And have you enjoyed the experience over the last few weeks?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a big step up. And I appreciate you saying I've coached a little bit of wobble a few years ago. But then since having kids, I only came back on as assistant. I got asked last year to be an assistant. And then it's definitely been a big step up this last month, but have absolutely felt so much support from the club and the team in particular. Like the group of girls that we've got this year is a very special group, and everyone has just chipped in where they can and helped me out, and from the club perspective as well, and from volunteers as well, just really felt super supported. And so what has been a super big challenge for me personally, just having that support has been great. And I'd say after we got the first game done, I think I've slowly started to enjoy it a bit more, and the nerves are getting slightly less, but it's been a good experience, I think.
And I touched on a little bit earlier, Kate, the home final you've got coming up, obviously with the big results on the weekend, that's locked in. You're going to finish in sixth position, most likely. From a coach's perspective, I guess, does it make a difference? And how big a difference does it make to be playing that elimination final on your home court?
I think it does make a difference. We really enjoy playing on our home court, obviously, and in front of our fans and our home crowd. And so I think that just having that support from those people there is huge. So I do think that being able to pretty much have that locked in has been really good for us.
In an interesting twist, if I'm reading the ladder correctly, it looks like you could be playing the Flames 2 weeks back-to-back, so that final regular season game and then quite a likely opponent in the next round if the ladder positions remain as they are, which it looks like they would. How do you approach that sort of dilemma?
Yeah, well, it does look like that could be what happens. And again, I guess, like, we just keep doing what we've been doing this season. We just take that one game at a time and prepare as best as what we can for it. And then in some ways you will get to know each other better than quite well, because we play each other twice. And yeah, so we'll have a chance to make some adjustments there as well. But I think we'll just, keep doing what we've been doing these last few games.
That winning form is good form type of feeling, but also I imagine both sets of coaches wanting to keep their cards somewhat close to their chest perhaps as well.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of that too. You don't want to give too much away as well, because it is an elimination final as well, and so we'll definitely be taking that into consideration as well.
Kate Wee there, the head coach of the Lakeside Lightning. Good luck for the final round of the season, of course, into that home final as well. We wish you and the team all the best, Kate.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Let's get this thing started. The all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show, just one regular season round to go in season 2022. It's round 18. Fair to say a few dead rubbers in the final round, but there are some pointy games that could have some indications on those final placings, I guess.
Yeah, certainly some interesting ones on the cards. And look, it comes down mostly to Friday night. Obviously, there's a couple of games on the Saturday, but yeah, it'll all pretty much fall down to Friday night. On the women's side of things, it's mainly about positioning. The top eight's locked away. Goldfields can't jump in to get ahead of Perry Lakes, so it's all down to positioning, and they're kind of positioned in pairs at the moment. You know, Warwick and Joondalup, those two are going to finish 1 and 2 in some order, depending on who wins on Friday. Willerton and Mandra, those two are going to finish 3 and 4, depending on who might win and lose on Friday night. And the same is said for Coburn and Lakeside, and then Rockingham and Perry Lakes. So, you know, really it's just the order of things to be decided. You know, the teams that are getting home finals in week one are locked away. The teams that are going to be on the road are locked away. So it's a matter of where they finish. So I guess to that end, you know, you're looking at a game like Joondalup are playing East Perth. You know, you expect them to take care of business. So then the focus goes on to the Warwick Senators against Perth to see whether they can keep top spot. You know, Perry Lakes playing Kalamunda, whether they can jump up into seventh and potentially get themselves a slightly more favourable matchup. You know, Rockingham playing Lakeside. We've talked about that as a potential finals preview already. So, you know, that's a big one coming up for them. And you know, it gives those sides each a chance to potentially have a look at who they'll be playing in week one of the finals. So that, I guess that's where the intrigue comes from, is what these teams are going to put out on the women's side before that week before the finals.
And it's important to note that there is not a single coach. There's not a single coach who will tell you they have done this, but there is not a single coach who hasn't had a look at what matchups they want in the finals, and it'll be interesting to see. And we had Coach Wee from the Lakeside Lightning talking about that, is looking at how the other results will play out, and it looks like it will be that Lakeside Rockingham, they will keep some things in the bag. They won't show all their cards if that's a matchup that they definitely know is going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely, and that makes sense. Like, to me, yeah, you're never going to admit it as a coach, because you're going into every game to win every game, but it makes perfect sense to me. Like, that's just good coaching to go, okay, let's have a look at who we match up better against, and let's try and, you know, work ourselves into a position where we're best placed to play that team. And yeah, that's certainly what's happening. The men's side of things, I guess Friday is so pivotal to Saturday. It all hinges, really. Well, a lot of the intrigue hinges on the Perth Redbacks visiting Warwick Basketball Stadium to play the Senators. If the Redbacks can get a win there, that's where the interest comes from, especially if Perry Lakes can't get the job done against the Suns.
Absolutely, and I think also the dominoes start to fall is if the Perry Lakes Hawks lose at the home of basketball against the Eastern Suns. If that happens, then that's when the dominoes start to fall into effect for the Perth Redbacks, meaning that they must beat the Warwick Senators, and then they must back it up the next day with the midday clash against the Goldfields Giants.
Yeah, that's there'll still be intrigue in that game in either case. That's probably the game of the round in a sense, because there's so much riding on it, because it's not only you know, the whether the Perth Redbacks might potentially be playing for their finals lives. It's also that if that result does happen on Friday night, the Redbacks go up and knock off the Senators, that's also, you know, the Giants will be playing for top four at that point. You know, if they are able to knock off the Senators, that works both ways, that both of those teams will have everything to play for. You know, the Giants will be pushing to get that double chance in the finals, and the Redbacks will be pushing to just be in the finals. And that would potentially mean a Goldfields Giants Perth Redbacks matchup in week one of the finals as well. So, you know, there's a chance that that could happen. You know, if Perry Lakes take care of business against the Suns, it's all kind
closes
of
the door,
you know, closes
it?
The door on the Redbacks, and then the only intrigue is whether the Senators get knocked off and the Giants can jump up into the four.
I guess it's worth noting, because we talked about those splits in weeks gone by, essentially, and even if the Perry Lakes Hawks would lose in a hypothetical world, and if the Redbacks can only get one out of two, and they've got the equal record, well, the Hawks will be the ones that progress into that sort of eighth spot.
Yeah, they have to win both. That's you know, there is a scenario where if the Slammers beat the Mandurah Magic, they come up, which is an unlikely scenario, but the Slammers beat the Magic, win that game, we could have three teams tied on wins at the end of the weekend, which would then mean that it's done on percentage, because they don't have an even number of games against each other, I'm pretty sure, in this case. So we would have to see how that shakes down. Unlikely scenario, it would require the Slammers, you know, causing one of the shocks of the season and beating the Magic, and I would think the Magic will take care of business at home.
Still a little bit of intrigue left to go in round 18 final placings. Well, we'll come back on the other side of this. We're going to be doing Ben Pether's, what is it now? What's it called now? Oh, it's not a starting five. It's escalated.
Super six.
The super sixes for the youth players in both the men's and the women's, as well as we round things out here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
NBL One West radio show. Welcome back once again. Brett Costello, Ben Pether, Jordan Scardetta with you, full house. Of course, we've got the awards coming up this weekend, boys. Looking forward to getting out and about, getting the glad rags on and whatnot. We've talked about the official and formal awards a little bit earlier on in the hour. We're going to have a bit of fun with it, make up a few of our own awards, a few highlights from the season thus far. And I know, Ben, you've been chomping at the bit to give us your super sixes. So why don't we open up with that?
Well, I thought we'd start with the women's, and then maybe we could talk about our awards, then we can finish with the men. So we've got our All-Star 5 and our 6 off the bench, our first sub. So my criteria was simple. They needed to be 22 years and younger. They needed to have an impact on their team consistently week to week, and their ability to sort of impact the league. And if they were taken out of their side and put in somewhere else, they'd bring value. And so, in no particular order, starting with Emma Clark for the Perry Lakes Hawks. She averaged 22 points, nearly 10 rebounds. She went at 47 from the field. She was player of the week when they played against the Rockingham Flames. She's off to the Sydney Uni Flames. She's 22 years of age. She's got a big career ahead of her, and I thought she was fantastic. Another one that I mentioned a lot throughout, and I think that she could actually be out almost the most improved player, was Chloe Forster. She had a big campaign with WA Metro. Came back. She's a pivotal part of the defense for the Warwick Senators. She's 19 years of age. She averages 16 points a game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. She goes a 51 from the field, and I think she's been fantastic. Extended opportunities for season 2022, Katie Jones for the Lakeside Lightning. Mm. Of course, she has won one player of the week as well against the Rockingham Flames. She added 16 points. She had an AC joint injury, I'm told. She's gone at 16 a game. She had 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 39%, and she was a big part of where the Lakeside Lightning sit in season 2022. I've gone with Emma Clark. We've gone with Katie Jones. We're going north now, and we're going to Nishaya Parker-Williams, 21 years of age, averaging 16 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists, going at 51%. She's had a few big games in season 2022, and none other than the game against the Warwick Senators back on April 29th. She had 34 points and 17 rebounds, 21 years of age. She has WNBL experience. She sort of dipped her toe into that already. I think that opportunities will come again. I think she's been fantastic. Going right now, we're going right around WA, Gemma Gaddy, 22 years of age, the inaugural NBL 1 West season. We had her on the show here, and I said she's a big reason why they went with their side and actually got up, as she was huge for their Wobble Championship team last year. She was big for them. Unfortunately, got that season-ending injury. She had 24. She's going at 12 points a game, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. She was big for that. Last but not least, and I think that she is pivotal for her side, 21 years of age, and it was almost a bit of a shock to you guys because she's been in the league for so many years. She is a walking bucket. She's got the best handles in the league, I think, bar Robbie Ryan, and that's none other than Jewel Williams out there at the Cockburn Cougars, recruited there from, obviously, the Kalamunda Eastern Suns by Coach Ty Thwaites, and what a value she's added to them. She's gone at 40% from the field, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. She gets everybody involved. She's averaging just under 2 steals a game. And it was the game against the Rockingham Flames back on July 16th that really stood out to me. She had 17 points in the last quarter alone. She had 33 for the game, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. And it was just her ability to just take over in the fourth. And then my starting five, and my 6 off the bench, best players, youth. Now, special mentions. They can't,
wait,
of course.
There's more.
Wait, there's more. For the females, Ellie Newman and Ruby Vlahov from the Perry Lakes Hawks. Thought they were fantastic. Sinead Hartree won Player of the Week early on for the Perth Redbacks. Javine Fitch battled really hard all year for the Southwest Slammers. Eleanor Hartle for the Kalamunda Eastern Suns. And I thought Mia Jacobs also for the Lakeside Lightning. But there's my Super 6 for youth players. And I think one of them will win. Who do I think will win? I think Jill Williams will win Youth Player of the Year.
Probably every chance. I think she won last year, to be fair.
So she did.
She's probably still under the age criteria, as
well,
we said.
If it's not her, it'll be Nishaya Parker-Williams.
Good call, good call. Yeah, I was going to mention Ruby Vlahov. I understand she probably didn't play enough games to kind of really
only
be...
Only played the 8 matches this
season.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
yeah.
probably the reason why I probably... And that's what I was saying, that consistency throughout the year for their ability to impact.
Plenty of upside, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think Nishaya Parker-Williams is a relatively safe bet on as far as the youth player of the year. I know Jill Williams is in there as well, but I think Nishaya Parker-Williams will get so many votes in that, given that it's done off the MVP voting. I think she's the one. As far as youth, and will be 100% deserved. She's been outstanding for the Joondalup Wolves.
Well, we'll circle back with the men, won't we, Ben? We'll get to that a little bit later on. Shall we jump in? Because I know Jordan, he's always got his eye on the jerseys. He's got some favourite jerseys and all sorts.
I do, because one of the things I loved in the off season was the rebranding of the Kalamunda Eastern Suns and their new jersey. I thought they were fire at the start of the year. Really simple,
at
simplistic
the furnace.
Design. Yeah, at the furnace, of course. Yep. Throwing buckets from outside, different postcodes. Yep. The Suns jersey, though, I thought that was a ripper at the start of the year. Like that looked incredibly good. So I'm always a bit of a jersey person. Love getting amongst it. So I thought we'd pick our favourite and least favourite of the season. And that can be any of the jerseys that were worn. And there's dozens of, like, the Rockingham Flames threw up a late contender with their vintage jersey from the weekend. I thought that was brilliant. The yellow one, like the yellowy orange. Oh, that looked really good. I wasn't expecting that because I'd basically made my decision at that point. But, you know, that was one that threw a curveball. I've gone, oh, that's, I like that. It's very, very good. But for me, my favourite, I'll start with favourite. I have to start with positive. I have to go with the Redbacks black spiderweb. They look just... Yeah, they are everything you want in a jersey. The wicked contrast of light and dark. I love when you can pull off a full black jersey. Like, I think they just look so sharp. They come across so well on screen, but also in the arena. They come across really well as well. And yeah, that sharp contrast with the webbing and stuff down in that bottom left corner. It looks awesome. Just enough color in there to make it exciting. But yeah, the predominantly black of the Perth Redbacks black jerseys. Yeah, just pump that straight into my veins. Take my money. It's such a good jersey.
The Jordan seal of approval for
absolutely.
The Redbacks jersey.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And for me, the low light, unfortunately, and it's just because it's too busy. I don't like looking at things that have a lot going on. It's the Southwest Slammers away jersey with all the pinstripes and everything going on. I know it's been their way for a long time, or for a little while anyway. Yeah, I don't love how much there is going on there. It's just simplified a little bit. You've got a really nice colour scheme, a nice colour base at the Slammers. We don't need to see it that many times in stripes on the jersey. It's just a bit too much going on for me. It's not, you know, it's not awful, terrible, throw it in the bin, because most of the jerseys, let's admit it, in the NBL one West are pretty, you know, pretty decent. But that's the one I'd go, I'm not so sure on that one.
Well, before Ben chimes in, because I know he's going to have one, I'm going to jump in with a Lakeside Lightning away jersey. Now, from a distance to me, and I saw it in the flesh on Friday night, it looks like someone's accidentally thrown one purple item in with the white strip, and it's just got a slight purple tinge across the whole thing. Now, I don't know what happened with that jersey or what the design was or what was the intention, but I definitely wasn't feeling that one, I can tell you.
Well, Brett Costello, we'll leave that for you. I did notice that jersey as well.
You're hanging me out to dry on that one, eh? Or are you backing me up?
No, look, I'm probably not my favourite jersey. they've obviously gone away from the white to have that lighter colour, obviously being the away jersey. Not my favourite in the lilac purple. But anyway, moving right along, what I will say is my two favourite jerseys, it's a tie. They are both blue and gold, and I just think a fantastic initiative that we have in our league, the First Nations, and I think the Geraldton Buccaneers First Nations Indigenous jersey was absolutely fantastic. It was straight fire. I really loved it, and the Indigenous First Nations jersey from the Coburn Cougars was fantastic as well. I thought they were my two favourite jerseys.
The other ones I wanted to bring to the table, Brett, before we get back to Ben's you know, more serious analytical side of the game, I want to go with Bucket of the Year and Best Personality in each of the women's and the men's. So if you guys have thoughts, jump in, but I'll rattle mine off. My Bucket of the Year in the women's, and I went with ones that I got to see, like that, because you can get more of a feel for how much it means in the arena at the time. So my Bucket of the Year in the women's actually goes to Ellie Newman, who tied the scores against the Rockingham Flames at Bendat Basketball Centre. Gave the inbound, only a few seconds left on the clock, runs this big sort of wide cut, gets open in the corner, and then knocks down a three with, I think, 3 seconds to go to tie the game. Just an insanely good play, and just a clutch time. I think it was her second three of the last quarter to knock down that bucket for a young player in a clutch point of the game to force overtime. I thought that was awesome. So Ellie Newman gets my Bucket of the Year for the women's. The men, there wasn't really a debate to be had. It was Jonathan Wade hitting it from inside his own half while falling, you know, just throwing one up speculatively, and then, you know, everyone jumping in on top of him in the corporate sponsor area.
I thought you were going to go there.
My favorite moment, though, of all that, like, the shot was awesome, and seeing that live was just the pop from the crowd is just unbelievable. Like, that crowd's rowdy at the best of times in Joondalup, but like that pop that you got at that moment where they won the game with that shot was unbelievable. If you watch a replay of it and catch it, the corporate area is right in front of the broadcast booth at HBF Arena, and you can see the pylon happens. All the players run across the court. Jonathan Wade gets flattened by 12 guys on his team, and then there's this one guy who's sitting in the lounge area of the corporate area who just eyeballs the camera, turns around, just gives it the double fist pump, straight staring down the barrel of the camera, knew exactly where it was. Great camera awareness from that man. Yeah, and so that was one of my favourite moments there. I don't think there's much debate for the Bucket of the Year in the men's, because that was an unbelievable moment in an unbelievable game.
Well, mate, special mention, of course, I have to mention Marshall Nelson, 10 points, 42 seconds, quite impressive. Buckets of the year. But speaking of that game performance, I guess I'll throw in my sort of novelty award, and I think it actually a special shout out for the game night experience, not only for the Joondalup Wolves, but how much across the league they've increased. Mm-hmm. And special mention, I obviously, one of the best things about it is going and meeting all the different associations, the people who put in the work. But I think the likes of Joondalup Wolves, Rockingham Flames, Magic, Coburn, but right across the league, it's just increased the standard. And we had Dean Aglin on the show last week from the NBL One, the NBL One general manager, and he was just saying that the Joondalup Wolves put on a show that's the best he's seen right across Australia. So hats off to everyone around the league, but there is one that I am going to mention, and it is actually at the home of basketball, and it's not the worst, but I will say this: the Perry Lakes Hawks fake D defense chant from their MC, and that's none other than Brett Costello. But when I was sitting there on the call a few weeks ago, I was doing, oh, it might have been 2 months ago now, and I was calling the Perry Lakes Hawks and the Joondalup Wolves, and the Joondalup Wolves have come, they've headed south on the Mitchell Freeway, they've made it to the home of basketball, and then there's this electronic sound of defense playing out around the stadium. Perry Lakes Hawks, do better. Surely, Brett Costello, we don't need to have a fake rent-a-crowd defense chant. It's always something that I always have a mention on the KO game of the round. But yeah, that I reckon that's one. But what I will say is this, special shout out to those. Oh, a few weeks ago, I was at Belmont Oasis. Their crowd, although it's low in numbers, they are consistent because the same people I saw at their home game were at their away game as well. But with the huge juniors support and all the junior clubs that they got there at Perry Lakes, maybe we could see an increase in their attendance and maybe we might not need to use the electronic defense chant.
If I could get them to get off their hands and clap them instead, that'd really help us out.
All you need is the courtside announcer to really get down to the sideline and get those hands pumping. That's all it is. You get the energy from the courtside announcer.
I will say
announcer,
this, one of the best games I've seen, one of the initiatives, and look, special shout out to the Covent Cougars because they nailed this, their quarter time, half time and three quarter time game initiatives. But the putt, the hole-in-one for Golf Box Voucher. That's one of my likes. I definitely like that from the Perry Lakes Hawks. I really like that.
That is a good one.
Two hole-in-ones on the last Friday night.
Sneaky shout-out to the sponsor, too.
Yeah,
speaking of introducing some personality, best personality in the men's and the women's, the men's was easy. It's Carter Skaggs. Like, you watch the way he plays and his demeanor on court, positive, no matter what happens, he is just... You can't take your eyes off him when you're at a Coburn Cougars game. He's unbelievably good player, but also just he's the life of the party on the court, especially when things are going well. Passionate man. It's really cool to watch. Love watching him. So he's my best personality in the men's. In the women's, has a lot of grunt about her game, but also a lot of style about it too. Robbie Ryan. Like, no wonder she's an eye-catching player. No wonder she's won herself a WNBL contract because, yeah, she's very eye-catching player and just, yeah, has that just that little bit of spite in her game too where, you know, if things aren't going away, she's happy to, you know, have a few words and, yeah, get very spirited and lift her team. Yeah, I love watching Robbie Ryan play. So they're my two personalities of the year.
Could not agree more with you with both of those. And Robbie Ryan, yeah, full credit to her and all the best with her WNBL with the Perth Lynx this season.
Well, we're circling back then for the Super 6 this time. The men youth players of the year, according to Ben Pether's calculations anyway. Now, a lot of analytics behind the scene, I believe, has gone to this hours and hours poring over the statistics, isn't it?
Well, thank you, Brett Costello. And yeah, our final segment sort of thing, the Super 6, the starting five and the sixth man off the bench. Now, disclaimer first, there'll be lots of people who'll be like, why is Josh Hunt not in the Super 6? He's not in the Super 6, and the reason being for that is we've got under 22 years of age, consistent performance throughout their team. I think Josh Hunt has been great. His last fortnight has been unreal. And I feel like it ties in, I mentioned it last week, with the development trials for the Perth Wildcats, the DP spots. Josh Hunt, I think he's going to play a big role and a fantastic shout out to him, player of the week. I actually caught it last week and then they announced it. And I'm glad that came through. So Josh Hunt's not part of the Super 6. But these are the six who are, starting with the bigs. And we're starting down the Forest Highway. And it starts with Caleb Vandergrind. 16 points, 11 rebounds, going at 54% in the team that's sitting bottom of the ladder right now, the Southwest Slammers. That is no mean feat for the young 19 years of age. Just 19 years of age.
Came from nowhere. It was the words that we were given when we chatted to Corey Richardson on the show a couple of weeks ago. Came from nowhere. Just this kid from a farm down in Bridgetown.
Incredible. And look, he's heading over right now to Minutes State. Well, not actually at this moment, but later in the year. Fun fact, that's actually where the Bogue sisters went to college as well, where they spent their time in the university. So full credit to him, Caleb. He's one of my bigs, my second big. Now, special mention to Mateo Campbell, who probably just didn't play enough games for the East Perth Eagles, but he had a couple of double-doubles. But my big, and I think he's solid, and I reckon he's ready for a breakout year next year, is Tom Jurevich from the Willetton Tigers. He averaged the 8 points, the 5 rebounds, the 2 assists. Had a really big game going back a few weeks ago against the Perry Lakes Hawks on their home floor. He had 16, 5, and 3, and I think he... just 18 years of age. He's won a gold medal with the WA Metro team. He's really, really good. And I think he's a young Clint Reed. And I put that label on him before, but I think he'll be fantastic. Going to our guard spots, Matt Leary. It's crazy to think that the People's MVP was just 22 years of age. Last year, the People's MVP, I felt, for the grand final, hit that massive half-court buzzer beater over Greg Hyatt at three-quarter time, really brought the team back together. He's averaging 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists at 43%. He's had some big games this year. He had 20 points twice against the league leaders in the Geraldton Buccaneers. I think he is really destined to have one of those DP spots with the Wildcats. I think he's really fantastic, and I've really liked his year. The quiet gem, the gem out of nowhere from up north, Malik Mounier from the Geraldton Buccaneers. They're sitting right now 18-3. He's averaging 13 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, going at 48%, and he starts for them. And to play that role, not just to be 21 years of age, but to be actually consistently performing and bringing it each and every week, I think he's been fantastic. And really someone we didn't really know about, and we had to go and find and do that research coming from Victoria. But now, and again, part of those sort of equation for the Perth Wildcats DP, someone I've talked a lot about on the show, I've said that he's a young boy who's become a man in our front of our eyes, and that is George Pearl. We had Luke Brennan on the show last week. We asked what happened, and he said he doesn't know his full potential. George Pearl, just 20 years of age, he's had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. They lost Ethan Elliott at the point guard position to the center of excellence. Corbin Rowe went out with that foot injury. He's now become the point guard, George Pearl, running that with Kyle Zunick. He hasn't had huge numbers, but it's just his consistency and the trust that his teammates, and actually Luke Brennan, the trust Luke Brennan has in him to run the side, is what I've really liked about him. And then, of course, that is our starting five. And then our sixth man off the bench down the Forest Highway at the Mandurah Magic. I was blown away when I found out how old he was as well. 19 years of age, the smiling assassin, Riley Parker. 10 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists, going at 48%. Just 19 years of age as well. He had a big game against the Rockingham Flames. He had 17 points, 4 and 2. And just those, again, probably he had the Lakeside Lightning. He had the 22 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. But just those multiple contributions and the trust he has from his teammates, the trust he has from his coach, and consistent contribution is why he's part of my Super 6. Now, there's plenty of players that you could have added to that. I mentioned Mateo Campbell. I mentioned the likes of Johnny Narkle, Hamish Cummings out in the Goldfields, Keegan Phillips from the Coburn Cougars. There's multiple different players, and even at the Wheelerton Tigers, Connor Mitchinson probably would have been in the team last year, but interrupted by injury. Hunter Clark, we forget, is 21 years of age. Travis Fee, 21 years of age as well. He's had multiple contributions. So it's been a fantastic year for our young players, but they're the six that I'm going with who've had a fantastic year for our, and our youth player of the year, well, how it's voted on, I actually think that Caleb Vandergrind or Matt Leary will be our youth player of the year.
Yeah, got to be one of those two guys. It's been fantastic to see the development of the young guys still. We knew that West Coast Classic, kids got a lot of opportunities. We knew that the last season or two, not as many imports perhaps around. So it's good to see that now with the return of a lot of the imports, the development of some of those guys has really been escalated, and they've still had some fantastic opportunities.
And that's where Matt Leary's, you know, you talk about him potentially pushing for a DP spot on the Wildcats. His opportunities come because of Mitch Clark, you know, had pushed for that DP spot on the Wildcats, and then is looking to extend, you know, his skill set further by going over to Bendigo and playing over in Victoria. So, you know, that extends the opportunity for Matt Leary. And, you know, like Friday night was just a demonstration of how impactful he can be. 34 points off the bench. He started on the bench. He didn't even start the game and hits 34 points. So just an unbelievable player. And he gets those opportunities because that was, you know, that's Mitch Clark's spot last season. And, you know, he gets those, you know, extended opportunities now. And great to see that he's taking advantage of it. Yeah, Caleb Vandergrind, though, you wonder whether the Slammers have got close enough in a lot of their losses to get him some votes in the MVP voting, which is what the Youth Player of the Year is based on. I hope so, because he looks a special talent who's obviously going to play his trade overseas. So, yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head with those two. I feel Hunter Clark's a little bit stiff to not make the six. You know, every time I've watched him, he's a impact on both ends of the floor player now. He's started every game for the Wheelerton Tigers, the only player to do that, to start every game for them this season up until the weekend just gone, when he's become unavailable. So, that's probably the only issue I'd take with that. Is I'd probably have Hunter Clark in the five, but, you know, he's that's certainly a tough five or six to get into.
Absolutely. And I think with Hunter Clark, with the Centre of Excellence experience coming from the East Coast and there's sort of that expectation and that resume that precedes him. And with the guys that we've seen, it's probably those WA talent that we probably didn't expect, or we've seen those breakout years. But Hunter Clark, his second year in the league, he's probably in that other echelon in regards to our expectations for that consistency for performing. But yeah, again, he is ever reliant for the Wellington Tigers.
Well, guys, fantastic input around some of those awards. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back to wrap things up on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
2015. Yeah, that's so good.
The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back as we round things out on this awards special edition of the NBL One West Radio Show. We're looking forward to the official awards night on Saturday night, but it's been a lot of fun going through some of those hypothetical scenarios. Jordan and Ben, thank you so much for your inputs and thoughts on this exciting edition.
Thank you, Brett. It's been a lot of fun, this one. I like it.
It's been real.
We broke a lot of things down. It certainly has. Working as a trio has been a bit of fun. And yeah, look, Saturday night's going to be good, but we've got a whole bunch of games to finish off before that. We're going to see how everyone lands, and we'll be all set for the finals edition of the NBL One West Radio Show to start next week.
And what do you think, Ben? Three people? Do we do it again next week?
Absolutely. It's been fun to come in on my off night. But yeah, no, all the best. And mate, that the domino effect from that men's clash with the Perry Lakes Hawks and the Eastern Suns, and just up the Mitchell Freeway, Warwick Senators, Perth Redbacks, plenty of high-quality games still to come.
Definitely some things to keep your eye on. If you'd like to check any of those out online or in person across the weekend, head across to nbl1.com.au or get yourself around the NBL One app. That's it for this week's edition of the NBL One West Radio Show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.